Oops, I just heard I'm not hearing me. I must have accidentally shut this thing off. Did you hear anything at all coming out of my mouth? Oh, well. Oh, I'm on the air now. Sorry about that. It's nonsense. As I mentioned, or tried to mention, it seems like it's been since forever since I've been on the air with you. I think since last Wednesday. And I had to run some different things and... too many doctor's visits. I mean, just drain the daylights out of me. And I've only got one schedule this week, and that's because I went and scheduled early this morning. Trying to do some catch-up on some gallbladder issues. And I think I'm ahead of the game, but I got to make sure. But I've had a very, very busy day. I don't have lots of voice tonight, but we're here anyway. Jeff Bennett here. The Edge of Darkness. Money. Oh, my God. What a zoo. The lies, the deceit, all the economic crap that I'm seeing makes me want to vomit. A couple of headlines here for tonight. Red alert for crypto owners. Joey is going to use a new executive order to come after you in a major way. I mean, they just got to suffocate anything that smells like freedom, right? So after alienating and persecuting so many other groups of Americans, now the Bite Me administration's coming after cryptocurrency owners. But I've been warning you about this for several years, so don't be shocked. The administration officials are promising to bring what they call coherency to the industry. But just like everything else that they touch, it's far more likely they're going to ruin the industry. That's because the Federal Reserve ultimately wants to create their own. Don't kid yourself. One of the most positive things about the crypto industry has been how relatively free from regulations it's been all these years. But now Joey and his minions are absolutely determined to change all that. In fact, Bloomberg reported that Biden is going to issue a cryptocurrency executive order as soon as this month. Yeah, well, we'll just wait around and see what happens. Of course, then, you know, one kind of news leads to another, kind of a poopy kind of news. I'm being polite. We're talking about dog do, cow do, chicken do, doesn't matter. Skyrocketing fertilizer prices could spark widespread global famines unlike anything we've seen in modern history. Now, let's make it real simple. Fertilizer used to grow food, but Bill Gates wants us having nothing to do with that, so I'm sure he's going to find a way to control that because they want us eating pretend food, plastic food. Oh, well, stuff happens. My friends, 2021 is now in the rearview mirror. It's a month old. I believe future financial historians may regard it as the year of peak speculation. Because while the history of American markets is littered with periods of irrational exuberance, none of those episodes could really match the current market for outright delusion and the blatant disregard for basic investment discipline. So where do you begin? It was the year that brought us meme stocks, M-E-M-E. Companies whose share prices skyrocketed precisely because their business prospects were inarguably bleak. It was the year that launched thousands of new cryptocurrencies, more than quintupling the market capitalization of these new so-called assets. Oh, yeah. In November of 2020, it was $578 billion. A year later, it was $3 trillion. Good Lord. And Joey's going after it. He smells it, man. Yeah. Well, my friends, I hate to tell you this. We are facing a dying fiat empire. With the Fed set to hike rates and kill quantitative easing, markets are in turmoil. Bank analysts are forecasting 7 hikes this year. And Joey's crazed warmongering in the Ukraine presents an additional danger. Russian citizens are bomb sheltered. Americans have no protection whatsoever. And of course, all this business with the Bidens is so damned interesting because after all the threats and the comments against Trump, it's been Joey and his son that were so deeply involved in Ukraine. My friends, the danger for citizens of a failed American fiat empire is immense. But the government has a psychotic history of using external bad guys to divert attention from a crashing domestic economy. It's even used as a macabre scheme to boost gross domestic product. But then keep all this in mind. The Fed is trapped. The Federal Reserve has no room to taper or raise rates. Last November, just a few months ago, the Federal Reserve System announced tapering. That's a gradual reduction of the central bank's monthly asset purchases to the point of ending the asset purchase program, which means that the Fed would stop increasing its balance sheet. And in December, it announced another decrease in monthly asset purchases. The game goes on. And one truly wants to send a letter to Mr. Fed Chair Powell, telling this dirtbag that rents are blowing out and people are hurting. In 34 of the nation's largest 100 cities, rents spike by 15 to 28%. Tenants get to pay for your reckless monetary policies that made the wealthy far wealthier. In simple, general scheme of things, my friends, the renters are effed. They're going to be living on the street. And so new questions continue to emerge. Is the New York Fed working for the American people, or are they working for the Wall Street banks that own it? We add to a very long laundry list of questions about exactly who the New York Fed serves. The Help Wanted ad that was posted just 4 days ago. And the ad was for a financial planning and analysis expert to work at the New York Fed's headquarters in Lower Manhattan. And one part of the job description is this, quote, modeling of potential investment opportunities. Now, the New York Fed is supposed to be implementing monetary policy on behalf of the United States as mandated by the Federal Open Market Committee. And as far as public FOMC records indicate, the New York Fed has not been assigned the job of seeking out, quote, potential investment opportunities. So for whom is it seeking out these opportunities? Is it looking for profit-making investments for the Wall Street mega banks who own it and whose CEOs rotate on and off? Let me tell you something. We've been screwed, blued, and tattooed. It's nearly over, people. None of this is simplified. Nothing is going to be answered. Sad. Sad, sad, sad. Every time there's a massive Fed bailout of these mega banks, the New York Fed manages to be the entity creating trillions of dollars out of thin air for the bailouts. They hand out no-bid contracts to manage the bailouts to the same mega banks being bailed out, and then locking up for 2 years the names of the banks that got all the loot so that the public's attention has moved on whenever the shocking details are finally revealed. How many crooked, rotten banks have had to pay out millions and billions and billions of fines for fraud? And yet they continue to go on, committing more of it. This is unbelievable. I don't know, my friends. I could continue on with this story and many other stories. Jesus God, it's just appalling to me. Just appalling. Deutsche Bank, Citigroup, Barclays Capital, Goldman Sachs. JP Morgan's is the second largest at well over $2.5 trillion. And that's only through December of 2019. Nomura Securities International, Japanese bank, even worse than JP Morgan. And yet people continue to bank with these bums, these crooks, these thieves. You see, the problem with allowing an unaccountable behemoth to continuously expand its footprint is that pretty soon there's no ability at all to rein it in. A recent report, which had somehow failed to grace the business newspapers of New York, the New York Fed had quietly expanded its footprint to Chicago, 796 miles away, opened an additional trading floor, and staffed it all up. New York Fed's Second Federal Reserve District has nothing to do with Chicago, Illinois. It consists of New York State, 12 northern counties of Jersey, Fairfield County in Connecticut, Puerto Rico, the U.S. Virgin Islands. And yet the Federal Reserve Board of Governors, the Senate Banking Committee, and the House Financial Services Committee, all of whom oversee the Fed, are asking no questions, providing no answers to the American people about why the New York Fed needs a trading floor in Chicago. And we deal with corrupt activities that go on inside the New York Fed. They've all been chronicled in a book in 2018 by one of its own former bank examiners, Carmen Segura. Her book, entitled Noncompliant: A Lone Whistleblower Exposes the Giants of Wall Street, described the culture inside the New York Fed as follows. She said, "Nothing I had seen during my decade of legal work had prepared me for what I witnessed in just a few short months at the New York Fed. In those months," she continued, "I discovered a disoriented world full of hidden clues where people said one thing but meant another. And beneath the public face of the Fed laid a web of incompetence, corruption, rampant mismanagement, secrets, and lies. And in the fake work culture of the Fed, where supervision was a job title, not a job, the most important thing was to control the process to serve the ultimate master. No, the New York Fed was not simply failing to stop the banks, it was actually enabling their bad behavior." Reporting on the New York Fed over the past decade very much confirms the assessment of Carmen Segura. My friends, it's long past time for the U.S. Justice Department to do its job and investigate this deeply troubled and co-opted institution. Because you and I are paying for it all, one form or the other. Commentary, Pam and Russ Martins. Dated today. Do you just want to give up? I took a look at metals markets for today, and I frankly have not looked since last week. Rhodium sitting at $15,750 an ounce. Palladium off $4 today at $2,282. Platinum flat at $1,025. Silver down a penny at roughly $2,259, $2,262, somewhere in that area. Not a major issue one way or the other. Gold back at the $1,800 mark once again after they battered the crap out of it last week. People were buying, but Wall Street owners were selling. They go for the quick, mandatory, quickie profit. Something I've never done when it comes to gold. Something I've never done. Sit tight for just a second. Let me share with you some things that came to me a couple of hours ago. And price figures can be off a little bit. You understand that. At the time I talked to my supplier, spot silver was $2,270. Gold was $1,803.70. And those figures are probably reasonably close to reality right now. I started looking at availability of gold. And I'm still absolutely shocked at what they're getting for gold. We'll get to gold in just a moment. Silver is still amazingly in short supply as relates to delivery. I took a look, two silver options that are the closest for potential delivery time. One is newly minted 1 ounce silver American Eagles. From what we're being told, we're out about 3 weeks for delivery. Kangaroos, Australian kangaroos. We're looking at end of March. Big difference in price. Estimated cost on a silver American Eagle. Now, what did I tell you? Spot was $32.70. Estimated cost on an American silver Eagle, and this is for a box of 500. $32.75 an ounce. Yeah, that's 3 weeks out. For a box of 500, we're looking at an estimation of $16,375. Shipping and handling is included. Smaller orders may be available for $33.75, somewhere in that area. Minimum order 200 ounces from this particular supplier. Shipping and handling is $25, no big deal. But if you're looking to add some sizable silver, you can certainly consider the Eagles. I prefer the cost of the kangaroos. The question is, are you willing to wait close to 8 weeks to get it? I mean, you order it, you got to pay for it based on today's prices, but your money's going to sit tight. It's guaranteed you're going to get it. That's never a problem. I've never not delivered. Okay? You're probably looking at about 26 and a quarter an ounce. That's a huge difference. About 26 and a quarter an ounce, but that's for a minimum of 500 ounces. Price is going to go up a little bit if you do a lesser order. But those are the most available in silver. It's not to say you can't walk into your local coin shop and probably pick up a roll, 20, 40 pieces. And, you know, you may get a fair price, you may not. But as tough as it still is, almost a year later, to still get a sizable amount of silver. The prices have gotten a little fairer than they were last April and May. But doesn't matter. You've still got to wait for it. I took a look at some options as related to gold. Gold at roughly $1,803.70. The best damn deal I can still pull together. They had nothing available in 1 ounce stuff. Nothing. I was absolutely shocked. How can there not be any? Well, the U.S. Mint's cut back. They're not minting as much. It's pretty appalling, isn't it? No, we can still pull together some of the fractional, the half British sovereigns at about $261 a piece. And I'm not going to put a minimum or a maximum on it, okay? And if it's below 10 ounces, it's going to be a flat $25 in the shipping and handling. If it's over 10 ounces, you will not pay that fee. So Roughly 261. I will tell you why I like them. No, they're expensive. You figure it's going to take roughly 20 of those to make an ounce. And I may be fried here right now. These are roughly 10th-ounce pieces. So you're talking 10 pieces is going to run you somewhere around 26, you know, 2610. Well, but Bennett, spot's only 1800. Well, yeah, okay. But it's small, it's barterable, it's tradable. You don't have to break a 1 ounce piece and figure out how you're going to get change for, you know, a half an ounce or 3/4 of an ounce, whatever the case may happen to be. I have been blown away. I told you before, it's been over 20 years since I've been able to get anything this small. Less expensive than buying a 1/10 ounce American Eagle. It's got slightly more gold in it than a 1/10 ounce American Eagle. And it's British, and it's old, and it's highly recognizable all over the damned world. Either way, if you've got some interest in the gold and silver we've talked about tonight, and believe me, depending on your individual circumstances, I'll do some more shopping for you. We'll do some hunting and see what else we can find through some other sources. Might be able to get 1 ounce gold bars. I don't know. It is very, very tough. There's companies going under left and right because they can't deliver. And I'm still dealing with companies that have got product. They've got stuff to deliver to some degree. But you can give me a call tomorrow or send me a text, 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also shoot me out an email if you want to at jbennett, B-E-N-N-E-T-T, the number 216@cox.net. Now, let us move into a different direction. First of all, keep in mind, this program is going to close tonight with a very interesting closing piece of music. It's a couple of pieces of music that I happen to like. There's a presentation that was done at the American, I think, Country Music Awards show a couple of years ago. Probably one of the most drop-dead live performances I have ever seen in an award show. But there's a distinct reason I'll be sharing it with you tonight. So do stay with us. Now, we go back talking about our good friends at the government. You sue the government. Well, let's put it this way. A guy named Philip Dick once wrote a book called The Man in the High Castle. And in it, he stated, a psychotic world we live in. The madmen are in power. If we have not learned by now, we should be aware of anything this government insists is for our own good. Oh, come on, let's take Joey's Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. And this is something I've seen for a lot of years now, and I've commented for many times, and almost to the point I'm sick and tired of it, because it never changes. You see, given the deteriorating state of the nation's infrastructure, you know, its aging highways, the bridges, outdated railways, the airports, all of which have been neglected for years in order to fund America's endless wars abroad. All of this would seem like an obvious and long overdue fix. And yet there's a catch. Oh, my friends, there's always a catch. Tucked into the whopping $1 trillion bipartisan spending bill is a provision requiring automakers to prescribe a Federal Motor Vehicle Safety Standard for advanced drunk and impaired driving prevention technology, quote, and for other purposes. A guy named Jason Torchinsky writes for some publication called Jalopnik. And in it he says, it's pretty clear The goals of this section of the law are to reduce drunk driving fatalities and crashes via still undetermined technological tools that somehow are able to passively monitor the performance of a driver of a motor vehicle to accurately identify whether that driver may be impaired, and or passively and accurately detect whether the blood alcohol concentration of a driver of a motor vehicle is equal to and or greater than the blood alcohol concentration described in Section 163A of Title 23 of the U.S. Code. And if either or both of these conditions are proven to be positive, if the car thinks you're drunk, then it may prevent or limit motor vehicle operation. Jesus God! I think we've got problems far more in depth than just that. Because, of course, once again, as expected, the details are disconcertingly vague, which leaves the government with a wide berth to sow the seeds of mischief and mayhem. Example. Nowhere does the legislation indicate how such a so-called kill switch would work. What constitutes a driver who is impaired? And what other purposes might warrant the government using such a backdoor kill switch? Former Representative Bob Barr explains that everything about this mandatory measure should set off red flares. First, the use of the word passively suggests that the system will always be on and constantly monitoring the vehicle. And secondly, the system must connect to the vehicle's operational controls so as to disable the vehicle either before driving or during when impairment is detected. Thirdly, of course, it'll be an open system, or at least one with a back door, meaning authorized or unauthorized third parties could remotely access the system's data at any time. Well, Barr continues by saying this is a privacy disaster in the making, and the fact that the provision made it through the Congress reveals once again how little its members give a damn about the privacy of their constituents. The lack of ultimate control over one's vehicle presents numerous and extremely serious safety issues. If that's not reason enough for concern, there are serious legal issues with this mandate. Other vehicle-related enforcement methods used by the nanny states, such as traffic cameras, license plate readers, have long presented constitutional problems, my friend, notably with the Fifth Amendment's right to not self-incriminate and the Sixth Amendment's right to face one's accuser. Well, my friends, once again, the burden of proof seems to be reversed. We, the people, find ourselves no longer presumed innocent until proven guilty, but merely suspects in a suspect society. These so-called vehicle kill switches may be sold to the public as a safety measure aimed at keeping drunk drivers off the roads, but they'll quickly become a convenient tool in the hands of government agents to put the government in the driver's seat while rendering null and void the Constitution's requirements of privacy and its prohibitions against unreasonable search and seizure. And so, my friends, indeed, when you think about it, these vehicle kill switches are a perfect metaphor for the government's efforts to not only take control of our cars, but also our freedoms and our lives. For too long, my friends, we've been captive passengers in a driverless car controlled by the government. And day by day, we're losing more and more of our privacy and autonomy the further down the road we get. I mean, come on. Just think of all the ways in which the government has been empowered to dictate what we say, what we do and think, where we go, with whom we associate, how we raise our families, how we live our lives, what we consume, how we spend our money, how we protect ourselves and our loved ones, and to what extent our rights as individuals can be displaced for the sake of the so-called greater good. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
I'm ready, my lord.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Gold finger, he's the man with the Midas touch, a spider's touch, such a cold finger beckons you to enter his web of sin. You feel for a golden girl knows when he's kissed her. It's the kiss of death from Mr.
Auric Goldfinger. The words that emanated from his mouth were not that different from that's what comes out of the mouths of government. Consider this that I shared with you just before the break. Consider that we've arrived way ahead of schedule into the dystopian future dreamed up by such science fiction writers as Orwell, Aldous Huxley, Margaret Atwood, and yes, Philip K. Dick. And in keeping with Dick's darkly prophetic vision of a dystopian police state, which became the basis for Steven Spielberg's futuristic thriller Minority Report, which was released 20 years ago. My friends, we have been imprisoned in a world in which the government is all-seeing, all-knowing, all-powerful, and if we dare to step out of line, dark-clad police SWAT teams and pre-crime units will crack a few skulls to bring the populace under control. Minority Report was set in the year 2054. It could have just as well taken place in 2022. Incredibly, as the various nascent technologies employed and shared by the government and corporations alike. Think about this. Facial recognition, iris scanners, massive databases, behavior prediction software, so on and so forth. They're all incorporated into a complex, interwoven cyber network aimed at tracking our movements, predicting our thoughts, controlling our very behavior. Thus, Spielberg's unnerving vision of the future has fast become our reality. Both worlds, our present-day reality and Minority Report's celluloid vision of the future, are characterized by widespread surveillance, behavior prediction technologies, data mining, fusion centers, driverless cars, voice-controlled homes, facial recognition systems, cybugs, drones, predictive policing, pre-crime, as it were, all aimed at capturing would-be criminals before they can do any damage. My God, there's surveillance cameras. They're everywhere. You think those cameras at the stoplights are there just to be able to detect what traffic is all about? Oh, God, no, people. You get government agents listening in on our telephone calls, read our emails. Oh, political correctness. That's a philosophy which discourages diversity. And it's become a guiding principle of our modern society. And the courts have shredded the Fourth Amendment's protections against unreasonable search and seizure. In fact, SWAT teams battering down doors without search warrants and FBI agents acting as a secret police that investigate dissenting citizens. Oh, that's all common occurrences in contemporary America. No, my friends, we're increasingly ruled by multi-corporations wedded at the police state. And much of the population is either hooked on illegal drugs or ones prescribed by doctors. And bodily privacy and integrity has been utterly eviscerated by a prevailing view that Americans have no rights over what happens to their bodies, specifically during an encounter with government officials, who are allowed to search and strip and seize and scan and spy on and probe and pat down and taser and arrest any individual at any time and for the slightest provocation. Now, my friends, we're on the losing end of a technological revolution that has already taken hostage of our computers, our phones, our finances, our entertainment, our shopping, our appliances, and, yeah, even our cars. And as if the government wasn't already able to track our movements on the nation's highways and byways by way of satellites, GPS devices, real-time traffic cameras, performance data recorders, black box recorders, and vehicles to vehicle. Communications will monitor our vehicle's speed and direction and location and gear selection and brake force and the number of miles traveled and the seat belts. Were they being used? And they're going to transmit all this data to other drivers, including the police. You know, about 5-6 months ago, I wound up trading a 2005 Jeep that I had. Car was a piece of crap. And you know what? It would have cost me less money to make it a decent vehicle than what it cost me to replace it. I bought a 2013 vehicle, 70-some thousand miles on it. No big deal. I've regretted that purchase ever since, and I'm getting ready to sell it. Partially because I can get my money back out of it. Because the prices of used cars keep going up and up and up and up. because you can't get new ones. And that's okay, too. You know what I hate about the new car? The degree of computerization that is in those new cars. I'm going back to driving my 2003 Pathfinder. Oh, it's not that it didn't have anything, but it had nowhere near as much. My friends understand that in this so-called brave new world of ours, there is no communication not spied upon, no movement untracked, no thought unheard. In other words, there's nowhere to run and nowhere to hide. Heard along by drones and smartphones and GPS devices, smart TVs, social media, smart meters, surveillance cameras, facial recognition software, online banking, license plate readers, driverless cars. We're quickly approaching a point of singularity with the interconnected technological metaverse that is life in the American police state. Every new piece of technology enabled gadget that we acquire and technologically booby-trapped legislation that Congress enacts pulls us that much deeper into the sticky snare. And these vehicle kill switches are yet another Trojan horse sold to us as safety measures for the sake of the greater good, all the while poised to wreak havoc on what little shreds of autonomy we have left. My friends, we're hurtling down a one-way road at mind-boggling speeds to a destination not of our choosing. The terrain is getting more treacherous by the minute, and I fear we've passed all the exit ramps. From this point forward, there is no turning back, and the signpost ahead reads danger. It's time to buckle up your seatbelts, my friends. We're in for a bumpy, bumpy ride. These are the kind of things we think about. Maybe we try to shut our minds down so that maybe we don't think about it so damn much. I don't have the answers any longer. I think maybe I just provided them. Maybe we just shared with you some of the answers. My God, it's appalling. Absolutely appalling what we're going through. Does it ever end? Is it going to end? Unreal. Simply unbelievable. I just received a quick email I'm going to try to share with you, because I've got something special to close the program with tonight. There's been warnings for some time that the Omicron wave of infections was likely to cause a temporary shortage in the labor supply by reducing hiring and forcing many hourly workers off the payrolls when they were forced to quarantine, either because they were sick or were a close contact of a positive test. Interestingly enough, today, Breitbart was actually joined in that view by an unsuspected supporter, the Bite Me administration. Several White House officials came out today to warn about the bad jobs numbers likely to come out for January at the end of the week. The consensus view is that the economy is on track to add 150,000 jobs. That's an estimate that's come down from 200,000 a few weeks ago and 170,000 last week. But if that estimate proves correct, it's going to be by far the lowest estimate of Biden's first term and the third consecutive month of failing job gains. Oh, it's easy to see why the Biden people want to lower expectations. You see, the monthly jobs estimates are based on two surveys, known as the Household Survey and the Establishment Survey. The Establishment Survey gathers payroll data from 145,000 businesses employing about one-third of all payroll workers. The actual data gathered comes from the pay period that includes the 12th day of the month, which means the jobs numbers released on Friday will be based on what was peak Omicron infection. Recall that it isn't just the sick that miss work in January because of Omicron. Millions of asymptomatic workers subject to mandatory testing would have been required to stay home. And what's more, close contacts at work and home would also miss work for the recommended 5 days, even if they were fully vaccinated. Bank of America has estimated that 8.7 million workers said they were home caring for a sick person or sick themselves during that survey week. And not all of those who were home will be off the payrolls. Salaried workers and those able to work from home will still be on the payrolls, but many hourly employees will not show up on the payrolls. And it goes on and on and on. Oh, there's going to be some funky results because they're shifting the numbers. When this administration claims that the bad employment report is not really reflective of the economy, my friends, this could be the first thing they've said about the economy that you can rely upon. Yeah, right, sure. I'll believe it when I see it. I have an electrician that's done work for me for a good number of years now, since 2014. And Jake came out with a new partner last week. And unfortunately, I'm finding out today that new partner has back issues, etc. But his old partner, whose name I can't remember right now, made a decision to quit work. He made good money there. But he made a decision to quit because he made better money sucking off the government. Unemployment, the $1,400 every couple of months that would come out, all the other freebies. These people don't want to work. And I go to places that, there's a McDonald's that I've been going to for many, many years. And I went there the other day and I wanted to vomit. The food was so bad. The service was worse. And it was not a single person working there that was working there 4 months ago. And I hadn't been in that place for maybe 5 months. But I went there today to order something. How much does it take to order a quarter pounder with cheese, except no cheese, well done, and nothing on it but sliced onions and mustard? That's it. They screwed that order up. They can't get quality people to work. There's stores that... There's a Jack in the Box that I go to every once in a while. Not for a lot, basically breakfast stuff. That store's not been open for the public inside for over 5 months. They cannot get people to work there. They've got nothing but a couple of people working the drive-through window. That's it. This is horrible. Brand new store that just opened up. Yesterday was their first day of business. My granddaughter's been waiting desperately for this place to open. It's called Salad Something or Other. It's a place she got to know with one of her sisters in the East Valley. You know what? They had good quality people working there, and they were happy to work. It's unreal. Story. Tomorrow will be the 2nd of February. October, November, December. 5 months ago tomorrow, my wife and I and the family buried our son. And I'm not looking for sympathy here. It's a reality factor. One of the few predominantly family members I was friends with on Facebook. And I go on Facebook and I leave some notes even to this day. And other friends and people that I know leave notes on his page. He is sadly missed. Yes, he had issues in this life. But nowhere near the kind of issues his sister has had. I found out that even though he did not like country music, there was a particular piece of country music that he absolutely loved. And it was a particular piece by Chris Stapleton, which was a remake of a old George Jones song. And I did not find out about this until after he had passed. And some people left comments about it and actually posted it on his Facebook page. Interesting stuff. Well, we're going to close with that piece of music tonight, but for two reasons. Our son had a marvelous girlfriend who became amazingly close to our family, my wife, myself, our grandchildren, all three of our grandchildren, almost like a second mother to our son's daughter, Sophia. And she has become excessively ill in the last couple of weeks. So much so that within the last week, it's been discovered that she not only has ovarian cancer, but as of 5 days ago, she lost her sight. And she has little time left on this earth. Now, they had broken up, but they remained very close in their relationship. And upon realizing that she was going to pass, one of my grandchildren, who she adores, made the comment that she's going to get to see Uncle Mark before any of us do. And so we're going to close this piece of music or this program tonight with not only the song that I mentioned to you, but it's kind of a duet also with Justin Timberlake. And in some respects, it's the second song that I dedicate to Emily. I'm praying to God to get out and see her before she goes. It's difficult for me to drive right now. Not for the distance, but I'm going to have to do it. Because I will be saddened if I don't get that time, just those few moments with her. Thanks for the patience. Thanks for allowing me to share this with you. Have a good evening. God bless you all. I'll see you tomorrow.
Used to spend my nights at a barroom. Liquor was the only love I know. But she rescued me from reaching for the bottom. And brought me back, yeah, too far gone. Oh, the smooth Tennessee whiskey. There's nothing like your love to give me high. And you're as smooth as the whiskey. You're as sweet strawberry wine. And you're as warm as a glass.
sweet thing. Could this be a dream? Or just the same nightmare that keeps me awake? Sick. So I'm not a thing.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site, It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBTalk.com and join the social media revolution.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.